Good morning. It's Thursday, June 16th, 2016. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners County Administration Workshop. Commissioner Heck is not present this morning, but we have Commissioner Hare and myself. And we will begin with our first agenda item from legal counsel. Item 1A, the order number 2016-025.
Thank you. So this is a draft order regarding the Newton Dog case. There were two hearings in this case. The board has yet to sign an order regarding any of the findings or the penalties. I have created one more finding, 26, so I'll provide that to you now. I provided Commissioner Hare a copy, and of course we can continue to adjust it if he's looking for other adjustments.
I think we should start, and let's get some background on this for the record. I think if we're looking to go to like electronic versions of copies, we need to present at an admin meeting just the story. Mm-hmm. And so there was a dog, and you know, you have to go through all the elements of it, and we're codifying this whole thing with the decision. One of the things that's missing from the decision is my initial, and it's an exhibit, so it's Exhibit A, into the hearing, isn't included in the order.
Put number 26 in. Is that?
I know. We just did that this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read the document that was electronic. So I asked for that, and I think it's pretty comprehensive, actually, just having read through it. I think it captures, it doesn't talk about some of the reasons why, and I think that's important. It just gives my position, but it doesn't give it the background as to why. And so I think we could probably expand that, maybe take 27 and
sure.
just outline from a liability standpoint that I don't believe rehabilitation. And one of the things that I think is pretty important is that, you know, the gentleman had the dog, this two-year-old dog, it wasn't neutered and it wasn't licensed. So there's kind of a history of not being necessarily 100% responsible. I don't know if that was articulated in the hearing, so it probably couldn't be included.
There's a finding that the dog was not licensed, yes.
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 But I don't know that I articulated that exact reason, but by sheer virtue of somebody being, a dog being able to do these things to other animals, they're not exactly being.
Well, when you come to the findings of fact in the hearing,
I think we can.
The fact that it's put in here, I think, is sufficient. The why, because it's not. Your why of not participating in the hearing is not a factor as to the disposition of the case. You see what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Not exactly.
I mean, if I said, why? Well, because you said this is why we made the decision, then it would be different. We have to delineate all those reasons, but that wasn't a factor.
It's a pretty big factor that I objected from participating in it, that it's not, hadn't been
captured. It's noted, and that's all, because the fact that you didn't participate was not a factor we used to make the decision on the disposition of the case.
That's too bad, because it should have been, in my opinion. And so
only if you participate in the hearing. If you don't participate in the hearing, we can't use your opinion to make the decision on the case.
The arguments that I had used that I didn't aren't necessarily articulated. So I can highlight some of the things out of my letter that I think we could put in there. One more point. And that would suffice for me.
Let me use this analogy. If a judge recuses himself from a case, you can't use the judge's opinion as a factor to make a determination in the case.
I didn't recuse myself. I made my position. I think the dog should have been put down.
But you didn't attend the hearing.
I did.
But you didn't hear it stated here.
There's references that I attended both hearings.
Yes, you came, but you did not stay for the presentation or argument.
I didn't participate other than presenting my position. So that's what I want codified in the record. I'm not going to be here to sign it. We're not signing it today.
Right.
So the majority of the board can do what they want. I can also just express my position that I want it. If I'm going to sign it, I'd like it included in there. I won't sign it otherwise.
Well, do you think it would be appropriate that you sign it since you didn't stay for the presentation of evidence and testimony?
This is just a codification of the record. I'm okay. Explaining minutes. I can do that.
That's the order, not minutes. Legal counsel, it'll be up to you.
I guess ultimately I'd look for a general consensus of the board as to whether an edit is...
Well, if someone recuses themselves for whatever reason, which he came to the hearing and he said, I'm not going to stay for the hearing, which he didn't stay for the presentation or evidence or any disposition, or any participating in the decision or the disposition of the case. So it's kind of like a judge recusing themselves, saying, I'm not going to participate. You can't use the judge's reason as far as part of the decision. So why would they sign the case? Because they didn't participate.
Well, first off,
they gave a reason. You know, they presented to the court a reason. So it's the same thing with a hearing, in my view.
It isn't Wally's decision. He can make a recommendation. It's ultimately the board's decision. And like I said before, I won't be here to sign this thing. So what the majority of the board chooses to say in their order, they will sign it finally.
Okay, well, I have no objection to item 26 on page, I believe it's
15
or page 4 or 5. That's fine. I don't object to that at all. So
okay. I could attach the letter as an exhibit. Would that be?
You can attach the letter as an exhibit. That would be fine.
Totally fine.
Okay, I can say it's item 26, such a letter is attached as exhibit to this order.
Perfect. That would be fine.
Great.
And before we can do anything about it, Commissioner Heck, who was at the hearing, needs to see this.
Yes. Okay. Yes, he does.
All right.
Great.
So
that'll be.
So change that, put the exhibit, and then talk to
him. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
That's it.
We need to, before we can move it forward, I think we need to have Commissioner Heck read and see the attachment. Because we've made a change that he's not seeing.
Do you have a majority of the board here who would sign it if we were here next week? If he chooses not to at that hearing, you can do that. But if he's okay with it, I mean, you know what I mean? If I were here, you and I agree. Putting it all together the way you did it is just perfect. So technically we could.
Okay.
If he chooses not to, you can pull it. But if he, or if he wants to change it.
Okay. So go ahead and make the changes and put it back on for next week.
For next week's admin.
It's an admin.
Yes.
Okay. Or make the business session.
It's a decision at the weekly business session on the admin.
On the admin calendar.
Thank you.
Yes, for the weekly business session.
Sorry,
I need to clarify which admin.
Great.
Did we all get that?
We got it. We're hanging on.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
We'll make that change.
All right. Item B, draft ordinance for 3% tax on retail marijuana sales.
Okay. So I keep hoping to get all three commissioners here to collect feedback on this, but I think the clock is not going to accommodate that, unfortunately. So we are. I recommend basically I collect your feedback today to the extent that you have any to provide, and then I'll bring it back in that form after the edits have been made, and we're basically going to have to keep moving forward and get these hearings scheduled.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that we can't change it during the hearing.
Absolutely.
Perfectly
right.
Fine.
Yeah, just go ahead and move forward.
But yes, as far as the admin thing.
Mm-hmm. So we have consensus here to just keep proceed.
Okay.
Because the deadline is looming.
I don't have any edits.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, we don't have any edits yet, but they need to schedule.
Okay.
The only thing that I'm concerned about is that we have the schedule for collections of taxes and the penalties assigned with that. I don't see an objection to it, but I think if anybody did find something that they would say might be a little bit either heavy-handed or not heavy enough, those are the place that I see for refining under penalties under section 7.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think it's probably quite proportional and rational and appropriate.
I think this is pretty reflective of how the tax and the state statute is.
Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Well, that's a good question. Where did this come from?
I took the ordinance that was proposed from last year. There was before House Bill 2400. And
which was the marijuana one.
Yes, mm-hmm. And removed a lot of the language of that because it really wasn't relevant to what the legislature has since come down and authorized. And then basically adjusted it kicked it around our office a bit. There was a work group that Commissioner Walker assembled with the treasurer, the DA, and myself, and we came up with a draft out of that, and this is the third version of that. This is draft three.
Great. That was another question to the treasurer's reference in here as far as collections and after 45 days notice. So she's been consulted
yes.
on this.
Yeah, she is satisfied with this draft, actually.
I don't even know why.
But going forward, of course, we should keep her in the loop in case we make further changes.
I touched something.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Let's move forward. So what is the process for... hearings that have to be held.
Two.
Next schedule hearings.
Is this something you're including in your marijuana presentations and telling
I asked about it out at Williams, and there really wasn't much feedback or conversation about it, which was interesting. And
well,
no one brought it up until I did. And
hardly
then,
applicable. I mean, it's not like there's a retail outlet on every corner. Like there.
No, we only have actually one approved retail recreational marijuana business by the state. There are several, I believe four or five, medical dispensaries that are currently selling recreation under the authority of the state because they didn't have the rules in place. But that expires, as I understand, at the end of the year, so they will no longer be able to.
You reference in this, you do make a very good distinction between industrial hemp, but you don't make a distinction, call it marijuana, and maybe the statute, by calling it marijuana, has a distinction between medical and recreational, but it's not explicit in here.
Okay,
maybe
we are in statute prohibited from taxing medical marijuana. So when
that
we talk
might
about
be helpful to reference in here because I think maybe we know that, or I kind of know that. I didn't know that until 100% until
well,
you said
here's,
that, but
here's,
it might be.
Here is my thought process on that.
Okay.
Currently, we're prohibited from taxing medical marijuana.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So by the statement of taxing marijuana, by inference, it's recreational. However, if the federal government delists marijuana, the state may change all the statutes entirely and say everything just falls under recreation. And then if we start trying to delineate in our ordinances, we would have to then try to delineate and change them in the future, where if we just leave it this way, the state definition is such that we would just continue with the state definition, is my thought process on that. Is that appropriate?
Under the definitions section, item E, marijuana, might be, it does reference ORS 475, so that's kind of your intent of how you're mm-hmm. referencing, and I think that's really wise for doing a code.
Which is recreational.
An ordinance. Yeah. And whatever mm-hmm. that provision in the ORS.
And that's
driving.
Recreational. And so if the state changes it, they would change that, and then our reference would change.
Okay.
But we wouldn't have to go back and change definition and yeah. paragraphs and yeah. all of that. That's my thought.
Yeah. And to put a finer point, even the owner of business, the definition owner of business, G, states that it's just referring to people who have licenses from the oil
fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's pretty limited to that.
No.
It's all in the definitions. I mean, if people do
no,
actually call up.
Yeah.
First, I focus on that at these meetings. And I was thinking, oh, they're not that important. But then when you
all
look
important.
At it, they're actually probably the most important thing.
I agree. They are.
They are. And someone said that the other night, and they said, well, the way you talk about it is that you're including the medical. And I said, no.
Read the definitions.
Read the definitions.
Yeah.
The definitions are determine what... ORSs we are dealing with.
And I like the clarity on, like, product. I think that was one of the...
A product?
Yes.
That was pretty clear. Shouldn't have much marijuana product.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's good. I think you guys did a really great job. And the fact that I don't have anything really to say, to nobody else but myself, it means a lot. So.
We tried to also piggyback on the state the way they tax so that our assessor, so our treasurer wouldn't have to recreate a system.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I think we'll start, we'll start the process of scheduling that for hearings.
It might be helpful to have that, as we've done for others, delineated what the process is for hearings and working back from that data when we have to file with the clerk and just saying, these are the, I think we have those. We just have to We know the timelines. We just have to plug in the dates. You know what I mean? So we make sure we're hitting all of those points.
Yes. Somewhere in here, we do have the dates. We calculated that out. I hesitate to claim I can put my hands on it at the exact moment, but she can.
I did it somewhere.
It's in here.
I think that would be helpful.
But we should go over it with you to make sure that it's when you want to do the first reading.
Right.
You have the notice in your paper and stuff.
Right.
I don't have a specific timeline in mind.
I don't either. I just want you to be able to meet the schedule without having to push anybody in regards to getting it ready for the ballot.
We're doing well there. Yeah, I can say that much.
Okay.
This is still pretty early. We're not behind the curve.
I think it's August.
In June. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
August 10th or something.
I think that's right, yes.
August 10th, I think.
Thereabouts.
It's just the timeline for the noticing and because it's in Oregon.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, good. This is all based, don't we have reference to a non-binding election question? And that also should be...
It should be in our discussion, probably.
To say that we're not doing this of our own fruition. Mm-hmm. It was a non-binding question. We've already asked the voters that said, would you be interested?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got the record
on that.
I think
the election, whatever that was. We can do that in our description of the...
1746 or something like that.
Explanatory.
And the ballot question.
Explanatory statement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that would be helpful. So it's not just a unilateral thing.
Right.
Before we actually
had the question on that to where it was, you know, on the ballot such and such and the voters by such and such percent said.
That's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
As background. Okay.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Ball
anything
rolling.
Else from you this morning?
I think that's everything.
How's your codification process going? I'm really interested in...
We most recently asked... all of... Our data has gone to Code Publishing, the Seattle company, and they told us, and that went out in about February or March time frame, off the top of my head, a couple of months ago. And actually they told us around the middle of June they were going to have a draft ready for us, or July, I guess middle of June to July time frame. They said 4 to 6 months, actually, and that was... easily 4 months ago. So right around now, they should be sending us a draft.
I'm really interested in saying that this has been honestly the thing I asked for on day one, and I'm patient. I know I want it done right, but it would be great if it was done before my sixth year.
Is that draft going to be like...
it is, and I'm happy to present it and go over it.
I'm not sure the full board is asking for it.
I'm happy to.
My previous employments, I've reviewed drafts like that of things. They're fairly large, and I want to look through them.
Certainly.
I don't want to look through everything, but that's something I really want to try.
Yes, certainly. I'll keep you right in the loop on that.
This will be very helpful to everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And did they give any time frame that after we get the draft, review the draft, and give them the go-ahead, did they tell us how long it would be to have the final?
They did, off the top of my head. I think it was going to be a couple, I think they said a couple of months before it went online.
They had to digitize it, and then we actually asked for a couple of hard copies, whatever. It was all delineated in the contract.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, so I do expect a draft basically any time in the next couple of weeks, the coming weeks, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to put you on the spot here today. I do think about from time to time, especially when things come up. Well, I sure wish we had a code we could just reference either online or hard copy on the shelf. That would be great.
It would be great to have it, even if it's not done till the end of the summer. You know, we've never had it, so this will be wonderful.
Yeah,
we're one of the only counties in the state that actually does it, if I remember correctly.
That does not?
Does not.
Right. So this will be a very good thing.
I know this has been a daunting project, and just to review that it's back to you. Style guide and all that stuff. We're starting fairly from scratch, but we at least get to look at others and see if that style works for us. And just appreciate your work on this. But let's get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. So,
okay. Planning. A report on the Southern Oregon Regional Pilot Project. And we have our planning director, Julie, with us, and we have Mr. Converse, who we finally had to call upon to help us out.
Again.
Before we begin, I just want to give you an updated copy for the record. This one is formatted and actually is in color. So the content is the same as the draft you received, but this one's just prettier.
All right. Okay.
And
Mr. Pounder.
Thank you. Good morning. This is a product that is being actually prepared in concert with Douglas and Josephine or Jackson County. Kelly Matting is preparing a final report. This, in essence, becomes an insert into that report. So she has a copy of it. I have run it past Josh LeBombard, the DLCD rep, and he suggested some additions to the memo, and I inserted those, and he reviewed those and found that seemed to be where he expected it to go. And I understand there's some question about the fact that this is really not Task 7, and what happened to Task 7, which would have been the final product of the statement of work. And what I can do is I can do a little bit more research with Kelly and Josh to have a better answer for that, because I really don't have a good answer as to why I've stopped, except that when you look at the Task 7, much of the mapping that was required was very sensitive mapping. It tended to be those things that they don't want on a map. And so what kind of product can we actually get out of that? So I'll do some more poking on that.
Task 7 is to the best of their ability.
Yes.
They've been kind of aggressive on this.
They have, more so than Jackson and
they're applying a similar formula. And that's really what this is determining, is a formula of application for determining marginal farm and forest, and it could be zoned differently. And it seems, I feel a little disconnected in where we've gone. Mm-hmm. I'll just be honest about that. It's different than the vision I thought we were tracking on of trying to complete this, knowing that June wasn't a hard and fast deadline. Mm-hmm. We can extend that. We've done it three times before. I don't want this sitting on anybody's desk for any longer than it has to be.
Right.
My expectation is that we don't get a new rule out of this application to DLPD. But I do want to get something, and there were a couple of things that I think I've expressed all along that maybe we don't get everything that 1207 ever intended to get, which was a new rule for mapping marginal farm and forest land and a formula to determine such, but we have a need in Josephine County that Jackson and Douglas County don't necessarily have, is having that tool in the tool chest for what maybe doesn't qualify as high value resource land, but really shouldn't have, it doesn't have the carrying capacity to be rezoned as RR5, rural residential 5 acre minimum. So what is that thing in the middle? They have a 15 acre designation in Jackson County. And I think Douglas County has a 20-acre with the definition and everything, and, it goes through. DLPD accepts that. It's not, found okay at the Land Use Board of Appeals. We don't have any of those. We've never done one since I've been here, and if you go back, we have that one serpentine soil or limited development, and it's never used.
And there's very little land in the county to qualify for that,
so
private land.
Yeah.
And that is part of what this memo attempts to discuss.
Okay.
And that, especially with respect...
I apologize.
Fine, but it almost goes back to the question of, is there any form of the old woodlot resource zone that still fits? And some of the discussion among the counties was the fact that Douglas County would like to have a lot higher threshold of where that... Well, the threshold between non-productive and productive. Theirs is like 85 cubic... feet per
acre
per year, and DLCD is actually on record saying they would like 20 cubic feet,
which is the
state forest. Yeah, and state forestry is more in the 50 range.
Right.
And I was actually looking at some of the maps that were produced for this, and there's an amazing amount of land in Josephine County that's actually 85 and above.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a question of how much would be achieved by having this different category. But as I had talked about, I'm not sure I mentioned it, I think I did actually, but I was participating in a zone change over in the Applegate where they had forest, but it was not forest land, and the only available alternative was 5 acres.
Yeah.
And so is there
something
in the middle?
Yeah. As the board,
right.
When really the carrying capacity of the stretch, there's no way you're going to put, you know, at 150 acres, that many 30 lots.
Right.
And they didn't expect to. That wasn't their intent.
Correct.
And maybe that all works out just fine.
Yeah.
Giving an RR5 value, but that their minimum lot size, they were doing 7-8 lots on 150 acres of zoned RR5.
Yeah.
That's where it should
be.
But why can't we designate or have something... And we've talked kind of offline about maybe how we could refine the code to accommodate that clustering within those parcels of an RR5. And the state land use laws allow those kinds of things, actually sometimes encourage it.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking for a way to get something out of this.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, you know, this was a grand bargain between the governor and the legislature. The legislature was on the cusp of approving this, and it got, you know, horse trading. It got out, but the governor ended up putting it into his budget and approving it under Executive Order 1207, and it just seems like it's not going to look good if we don't come out with at least something. And I don't have any problem telling the legislature, thank you for giving us this opportunity to explore these options that we didn't, you know, Southern Oregon is challenging, that's why you picked it in the first place. We didn't come out with the solution you were expecting or we were expecting, but we came out with something. And that's my goal, is that we don't walk away with, well, we've done a lot of research and we've spent $300,000 or whatever it is, we really don't have anything.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the intent of Kelly's final report, too.
Absolutely.
And part of the answer is that nothing is going to be done by the end of June. But is there some viable push forward to address these issues?
Yeah.
And one of them is that interim zone. Either it's a zone like Woodlawn, because there was a point where everything got shoved back in based on statute.
Right.
It was woodlot, it went to forest, if it was farm residential, it went to farm. And so where the county had originally intended to have this interim zone, it didn't work. And so in some ways there's kind of that question of can that be restored in some form? And I think that would be the push on that.
The definition of minimum cubic feet per acre is a real help, because now we don't.
Right.
We have a guide and we've experienced it.
Yeah.
Like, we have no minimum that says, well, if a forester goes out there and says the productivity is X and it's right on the line, there is no line.
Right.
So we have to make a determination.
Yeah.
It's so subject to the land use board, you know, appeal, whatever.
And there's been the continuing discussion about the cumulative internal rate of return program that Josephine County had uniquely. And so that's...
I think it served us well, too. It wasn't arbitrarily determined. I mean, I think it was more comprehensive, you know, than just... And we're getting off on somewhat of a tangent, but if we could try to instill in other people that, you know, internal rate of return was a cumulative formula of other things other than just going out and doing core samples on trees and trying to determine growth per acre, you might not have any trees on there. So how are you doing the extermination if you don't look at the soil class and some other things that factor into the productivity?
And the pushback that I was reading as I was doing some of this research seemed to center on they felt it was too heavily economic.
Where they thought it was too much based on future costs and returns. And
correct, rather than the capability of the soil itself. Mm-hmm. So, again, something that is still to
be... broadening the definition, I think, for what the virtues are of woodlot resource farther than just commercial value.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, frankly, if you apply the definition of the accessories and the deferment to what you're doing, you don't get it. If you're in a CCNR in an R5, and it says you can't produce timber, you can't harvest timber for commercial purposes, Connie's taking people out of the exemption. That's the nexus. It isn't. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a second. I'm growing trees for environmental purposes on my RR5, and I want the exemption taxes for that. It's broader.
This is more on the timber value.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like how is this definition being applied at multiple sections of the county,
right?
And are they consistent?
Yeah.
Well, they need to be, because you got to compare values to values,
right? So, in some ways, two of these are related with the interim minimum parcel size. In some ways, that's the context of some form of residential zone, but it also could be based on this productivity rating. And if it's in that window, there's a smaller minimum parcel size without going all the way to residential. And even with your previous discussion, certainly farm uses have changed in the last 3 years.
Right. What's that threshold of productivity?
Yeah, and there was a lot of discussion in the committees that I was reading some of the minutes on those. Just this desire on the part of people who would almost surprise you that these lands that are in the 10 to 30 or 40 acre range that are vacant cannot be occupied until you demonstrate a certain level of income. And so they just lie fallow. So moving into some
which is
form,
really ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, a truck farm, the way it used to be, it needs to be 80 acres or whatever. Doesn't need to be.
No.
And the values of productivity in the Williams area, mm-hmm. people are producing of herbs or mm-hmm. seeds, and you can do pretty well
yeah.
on 10 acres.
Well, and by the way, I actually appreciate what you're looking at in the treatment of the rural residential zoning, because I don't know what's happened at Jackson County, but at one point it felt like they were saying we can't do marijuana on residential. But Josh Lombard, the DLCD rep, has a radish seed grower or something. He's occupying about 2 acres of his rural residential parcel. Mm-hmm. Absolutely a viable farm use, and it qualifies for a farm assessment,
yes.
or that farm deferral.
Right.
Well, are we now saying that you can't do that at all in RR5? And I don't think that's the intent. And I hope they fixed it. I don't know what's happening there. But
you're
I think you're taking the good approach on that.
Sure.
It's one of those cautions. As you move to
yeah.
to address one thing, then there's those consequences.
Yeah, you have
can
to look
be
at
very
all
difficult.
Of it. And, that,
so.
And that's one of the difficulties that I'm encountering when I'm going out to the town halls, is that the I think it's the lack of understanding that what happens when you have an agricultural allowance to use rural residential, that people are typically in their, you know, in their own
mm-hmm.
frame of reference, which sometimes is pretty narrow. But the whole reason that was done is because the nature of Josephine County is rural
mm-hmm.
and agricultural, or
mm-hmm.
has been historically. So people wanted to be able to grow, like you say, the radish seeds or the tomatoes or the cucumbers or whatever it was to go to the grower's
yeah.
market.
Yeah.
And you can do that on very small acres.
Yes, you can
grow a lot.
And it's supplemental income. It's probably not going to be your primary income, but it's viable.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
viable.
All of that relating to this in a sense that there's a new understanding of what is productive.
Yeah.
Maybe not the full commercial, but to the point where it should be encouraged.
I agree.
So we'll keep working on that part of it. And then really the only other thing is that the continuing question about Deer Winter Range in Josephine County. Because we do it differently here by basically allowing 34 homes per 2 square miles. Many other places would say that depending on the quality of the winter range, it's a 40-acre minimum. So for creating new parcels, it would be a 40-acre minimum. James Black related to me that they actually did come to the circumstance where they approved 2 homes at
we have
the same time
right now.
And one of the homes became the 24th home, or whatever the number is. Yeah, the 24th home. Both approved at the same time, but the 25th one, in identical circumstances, by that formula, cannot have a home.
Yeah, we approved 2
yeah.
comp plan zone changes,
yep.
and they will be in opposition. It's
mm-hmm.
whoever can get to the development first.
Right.
It's
right.
really crazy, and that's not the way it
yeah.
should be.
And what I have not explored that enough to know. In other counties, my understanding is if it's a pre-existing parcel, you can have a home. It ends up being siting standards to make sure that the home is as near the front as possible, to preserve as much wildlife habitat, but not getting into this question that we're struggling with here.
Yeah.
So that's another fix
yeah,
that we're looking to do.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
not necessarily what we should
under
do.
Identical circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're
well,
I'm sorry.
I yeah. think we can accomplish that outside
yeah.
of the scope of 1207, in my opinion.
The winter range?
It is a little bit, but...
It almost is probably the closest of all the things we're talking to carrying capacity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This, yeah.
Okay. So there'll be some recommendations coming out of it that...
That's
still county by county basis.
Yeah, that was my understanding. Well, sitting in with the other counties.
Not really.
This is still a draft. Is it possible for us to put together? So we've had a series of what were considered, committee work
mm-hmm.
on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made up of the liaison commissioner, who was Susan Morgan from
mm-hmm.
Douglas County, and John Rasher from Jackson County. I don't know who's liaison to this now. Would it be Colleen has shown up to one of these meetings?
Possibly, but I'm not sure.
It would be really nice,
yeah.
I think, before we could submit this to the board for approval, that we have, you know, we gather comments, we have put it out there for a little while, and then, you know, the committee come together and say, yeah, this is exactly what we want to submit.
Yeah. And one thing that's different about this, that there for Task 7, there was a requirement for a public meeting. But we're not doing Task 7. This becomes more of a report rather than a product for
right.
the... So I could check that, too. I think we would still prefer to meet in public session.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, and then from that, my understanding is that we have the public session to accept comment, and then we would react to that comment.
Sure.
So, and from that, this would be we would have our standalone for the county, but it would also be inserted into the report that completes the project.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, and talking about forestry, we have forestry today.
Thank you. So up for your consideration is a intergovernmental agreement between us and Oregon Department of Forestry that basically says if our resources, people and or equipment are employed to help fight wildland fire, we will be reimbursed for that.
That's very important.
Yes.
Sounds great. Do we have the agreement on the Title III stuff? You guys have that all figured out with the Department of Forestry and our guys and their guys, and it's all worked out for this year?
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Good.
There was some concern, you know, obviously when I came on board, I was concerned a little bit about the Title III SRS running out of our shop. Had meetings with the state and other folks and have learned that it's less of a drain on our department than I originally thought.
Good.
And it doesn't take a lot of administration by us. It kind of moves itself.
Okay, sure.
But that hinges on key personnel
yes.
that work on the SRS crew. If we were to lose those, that would change the perspective
okay.
of it dramatically. But I've expressed to the state that I am fine with it going out of our
okay.
shop right now, as long as it does not become more of a burden
yeah.
on us than it is right now.
It could
now.
Be a positive coordination with, I don't know, not necessarily your effort, but you're doing stuff all over the place, and they're going to be doing stuff somewhat.
And this,
I don't know that they're in conjunction.
Yeah, this FEMA grant will kind of be
yep.
kissing cousins, I guess, to that a little bit, where if that all gets through the FEMA process, it'll be the same kind of work being done on individual landowners and not the FireWise communities
yeah.
themselves. So,
okay.
And then we'll have a crew also working on county forest lands,
right.
Fireproofing those lands that were submitted under that proposal.
Okay.
But this is specifically that if there is a wildland fire and they would like us to bring the dozer, our mm-hmm. tanker, our personnel up and whatnot, that we will get reimbursed for that. And
I have to apologize. Have we done this before? And if so,
I think there's been a hole, to be honest
yeah.
with you.
I don't remember us approving this at all.
Yeah, my understanding is the last fire that any of the Josephine County personnel was engaged in was the Brimstone Fire mm-hmm. in 13. There was reimbursement for it, regardless of whether this agreement was in place.
But wasn't that federal reimbursement?
Going to have to punt on that. I don't know if that
not,
was
not necessary. I mean, that's okay, because I'm saying I don't think we had this, so it would have had to have gone through the FEMA, right?
Well, if that was
because
federal government, it depends on whether it's a federal government controlled
it would have been more
fire or an ODF controlled fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So my goal is to have all of this stuff worked out before something happens. I don't think it's fair of us to ask our personnel to go to a fire for their standard wage and being reimbursed to the county at that. I've been talking to HR a little bit about setting up a rate that if you guys are called out and are working 12, 15 hours a day
mm-hmm.
on a fire, that you get a different rate while
yep.
you're doing that, and we
yep.
get reimbursed
mm-hmm.
for that, and then obviously any of our equipment,
yeah, it's
vehicles.
Yeah, not a negative sure. on the department at all.
No.
And I think the more we're engaged with firefighting, as we have a big interest in it, we can provide that on-the-ground guidance to us. Well, why don't we set that back burn here instead of here? And
yes, being involved,
yep.
You can definitely help
can't
steer
hurt.
Some of the management
yep.
of it for sure.
That would be really great. So.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, we'll move this forward to the admin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good work.
We will talk about it.
I won't be here. So
you won't be here next Wednesday?
do it.
Pretty simple.
Okay, we are now to our quarterly updates. Emergency services.
Good morning.
Okay. So, since we last met, we conducted our EOC exercise the end of May, and that was with our EOC staff. That went really, really well. They were able to actually put to the test the documents that we prepared for them to actually use in the EOC, and they hadn't had any refresher training or anything from the year before. And so they gave us a lot of really valuable feedback on how to make those documents even easier for them to use.
Great.
One of the challenges we have is that our staff are all working in their regular jobs all the time, and it's sometimes hard to get a crack team of EOC-trained staff that are going to respond all the time. So if we have really good just-in-time documents for them to use when they arrive, we could have an effective EOC management by staff who are comfortable using this document. We participated in Cascadia Rising 2016 along with three other states. And for our participation, there was actually a great deal of interest over the last year in building what our county wants to call the Cascadia Plan. So although there was some interest in the exercise itself, there was a lot more interest in looking at how does Josephine County respond to a catastrophic event of that nature. So lots of discussion ensued, and we figured that communications was the bite-sized piece that we should start with. And so we tested first responder simplex communications to get an idea of our coverage. Simplex is radio to radio. It doesn't go through the repeaters because it's quite possible that those repeaters could be damaged. Either the repeaters themselves or power could be out. There could be a number of factors. And so what we plan to have walking away from this is actually a first responder communication plan to be employed in any disaster where communications are out, so that those responders can talk to each other and know how they're going to communicate, because no one had that.
I'm starting from scratch with that concept. I mean,
well, we kind of are, because
isn't
all
the default being like a ham radio, and we've got a robust group of volunteers who are very familiar with that, and we put ham radio equipment at the Ivy Fire location, and so we're not starting from scratch saying, well, what would we do if our radio tower is out or what have you, right?
It's apples and oranges. So how do the firefighters talk amongst themselves when they are tactically responding to events? Mm-hmm. They don't have ham frequencies in their radios. They're not ham-trained operators. So what we currently have established is a way to communicate once ham radio is up and running, to communicate agency to agency. What we don't have is really that first step of how do the first responders talk to each other on whether it's the fire ground or, you know, the incident scene, essentially. And so this will give us that particular piece.
Oh, okay.
Although ham radio is our redundant communications, one of the things that we have to look at is redundancy for that. And so having a set of frequencies as well that are non-repeated that are currently in our first responder and public works radios so that they can have an agency-to-agency communication system as well.
Good.
So going forward, the intention from the agencies is to continue planning for a major earthquake, even though the disaster exercise itself is over. I wanted to let you know that we sent out a request for quote in hopes of finding a new contractor to finish our community wildfire protection plan, and we got back three quotes, which we're in the process of reviewing, and I'm very hopeful that we will have a really...
It's encouraging that we got three.
Yeah, everybody we sent it to responded.
That's great.
Which was good. And it was actually kind of a different quote than I had ever done before, in that we have them review some of our existing documents to be able to really bid the project to us to say, here's where we're at. and the vendors that we chose were ones that had prepared community wildfire protection plans before, so they had an idea of what that work entailed.
Okay.
And I have an agreement here that we've been working on with legal for some time. And it is simply an intergovernmental agreement to allow us to use a radio cache owned by ODOT. Our closest cache is in Central Point, and the agreement basically outlines the procedure if we wanted to use it, how we would do that, and what we would be charged.
Okay. Sounds great.
And legal has signed off on it.
Okay.
And is there a deadline on this?
There is not a deadline
on this.
There's not
a deadline on this. Okay.
I'm comfortable.
There's two originals here. So. And there's no deadline.
I'm going to get a chance to review it today.
Yeah. They're both originals,
yeah.
But I'll pass down an original to you to look at.
Do we need this to move? It's an IGA, so it seems like something that should go to the weekly business session.
Yeah, I think that... why don't we go ahead and move it to the weekly business session, and we have the time to review it this week. And
doesn't sound complicated.
Right. So there are two originals already signed, and I gave him one to review, and then this one you can copy and give me one back, a copy.
It'll be in your packet.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Is this going to admin?
Yes.
And who will talk about it?
I can't, so unless you want to be there to talk about it.
I actually have a conference in Ashland.
Okay, I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll do that.
I didn't have anything else unless you have questions for me.
No, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, juvenile justice.
My name is Simon.
Brad Kane.
Thank you. Brad?
For
a
while.
Nice to meet you.
19 years, been there a while.
Okay, this is the second amendment of intergovernmental agreement between Douglas County and Josephine County for detention of juvenile offenders.
Yes, and we would like to amend the subsection 3A and just update it for next year.
Can you refresh us on what that section says? I just shut mine down. This looked good. It was 114, right? The same as last time.
It says that we, the initial phase, the First Amendment presently states that from July 1st, it's our detention bed amendment. So we would like to change it from July 1st, 2015 through June 30th. Of 2016 to now state from July 1st, 2016 through
just changing
June
the date.
30th.
Okay.
Yes.
Just
so
changing
for the
date.
Current
okay.
year, it's the same price. Nothing's changed. Same bed number, the 1,065 beds,
okay.
of which we are just right on point on that. We've managed that.
All right.
With some sweat and tears.
I told Jim, and I think the board made this point, you know, I feel like that there's a never-ending stress level, which is appropriate, with trying to manage those beds.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas County has been so generous
Absolutely.
With the opportunity to use their facility. I feel like the cost per bed per day isn't cheap. It's more expensive than an adult corrections day. But at the end of the day, if Mr. Goodwin feels that he needs an additional amount of money for that to accommodate youth that need to be incarcerated, I feel like the cost benefit to reducing the ending fund balance, for instance, if that's where the resources would be taken from, and accommodating needing that, I think he just needs to understand that there's a buffer there, that this isn't a hard and fast contract number, in my opinion, that we would find the money somewhere to accommodate. And I don't know that it's necessarily sunk in, or maybe it hasn't. He hasn't needed it because the management is that tight. But my goal is that if there's anywhere within the criminal justice system where I would approve an overage, that's it. So don't work so hard at saying this kid may need to be there in incarceration, awaiting trial. They may be at flight risk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Find a bed. That's.
And Douglas County has been exceptionally
yeah.
good. There's been times when we've had 7 beds up
right.
there, and we've been thankful. Jackson County would not have been able to work
no.
that. Douglas County has put extra staff on
uh-huh.
to accommodate us.
Mm-hmm.
They've been exceptional. With that, then we try to adjust our probation violations on the other end
right.
to kind of keep that balanced out. And I know Jim lays awake at night
yeah.
worrying about this.
The substitute for this contract is like $800,000
mm-hmm.
of incarceration. So I
right.
feel like we're doing an incredible reduction
mm-hmm.
from where it would have been. Maybe, you know, half a million to $1 million
right.
to do the alternative of opening up our own detention facility.
Mm-hmm.
So you see what I'm saying? The
yes.
ratio of where we were to where we are now
mm-hmm.
is far in excess of anything else we're doing. I mean, so don't feel so confined to the 114,000.
Okay, thank you.
1,000, you know what I mean? Is that sound consistent?
Right.
I think we said this before.
Yeah, because, you know, if you have... You can't plan ahead for offenders.
Right, right.
No. You may have one today, but 10 tomorrow.
Right.
And I agree that if you have to incarcerate that extra one
mm-hmm.
In a bed, then we must do it. And
thank you.
And I know you're very careful about who
absolutely.
Those are and don't take the job lightly.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's necessary, we have to do it. We just can't risk. Not doing it.
Right.
Harris not
right.
doing it.
We'll find the resources because they just recarpeted finance over there and we discovered a whole bunch of money underneath the old.
Oh, yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
It was all fake. But
you know, I kept asking the contractors, like, when you find that safe, that hidden location of
mm-hmm.
money under the finance office, you let me know.
Yeah, there you go. So good. And you know, one thing, too, is that I think it would be appropriate if we might send a thank you to Douglas County.
Absolutely.
So if you'd prepare a thank you for us to sign, because I really appreciate what they have done.
That'd be great. Jim and I were discussing that recently
yeah,
as well.
I think
so
they've
gone
really gone
beyond.
Far and
yep.
beyond
yeah.
to help us out. And I think it's appropriate if we send them just a note to show our
yes.
appreciation.
Commissioner Freeman never lets me go on a meeting without reminding. No, just he's always very gracious.
So, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. We move this forward on admin. I think it would be appropriate for us to talk about it. So.
Can you speak to it,
Cheryl? I'll address it.
Okay.
I asked Keith to do it, but he's not here because he's the liaison. But
well, it's not complicated. It's an extension.
Yeah, but put my name on it. But if he wants to... Just an extension of the contract. Okay. Finance report and business update. I know what it was. You found the money.
I wouldn't be here.
I didn't see the policy provision on the agenda.
You didn't?
I sure wish we
would
could
got 2 more weeks.
Find a pot of money somewhere.
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking, since we're off the subject a little bit, I was thinking of when Brad was here talking about Douglas County, it reminded me of back in the day when I read Thoreau, the Walden, you know, he's living on Walden Pond. And one of the comments he makes is that I'm not going to buy anything, I will just borrow it from people who already own the tool, in his case, you know, to help him exist there. And I couldn't help but thinking that's sort of where we are. You know, we're depending on the graciousness of other people who actually have bought the tools, and we're just borrowing because, you know, trying to get by on nothing. At least that's what I was thinking back when I read that 100 years ago.
Well, what's really crazy is that if you are taking that analogy, we have a really nice tractor. It used to be state-of-the-art in 1996 when we bought our tractor.
Yeah.
But we're not going to use that one.
We're
going to go borrow the neighbor's tractor
yep.
and use their tractor. And
yep.
it's like, it seems very, I would imagine, strange to Douglas County. You guys had the state-of-the-art, you know, facility back in 1996, mm-hmm. and now we're...
Yeah.
Now we're just going to live off your graciousness. You know,
well, if you look at the agenda today, we're setting up to borrow the cash for infrastructure for the ODOT and
mm-hmm.
asking, you know, well, the other way. It works both ways, too, you know, with the ODF contracting with us if we need additional fire suppression resources. Yeah, so it does work
yeah.
both
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
Well, it's because forestry.
You're going to surprise us
with money. It'll always be a surprise. It'll always be a surprise. It's not July 1 yet. So what I have here, and here's another one, I suppose. But what you'll actually have, this is the a summary of the budget adjustments that I'm recommending. These are all items that are below the threshold for the 10% adjustment, so they do not require publication. They don't require advertisement in the newspaper. They don't require public hearing. These are all changes that have been made throughout the year. No surprises. They've come before the board, and I'm just formalizing them now. I'm just incorporating them into the official budget document based on things that have been decisions that the board has made and approved over the years. So over this past year, I should say. So I can briefly go through these now. I could, go through them on Wednesday. I would recommend recommending we move this to the weekly business session. We basically have two business sessions left, I think, in June. It has to be done in June, so either next week or the week following, depending on the preference of the board.
You say preference of the board, but do you have to do any other further publication of this afterwards?
No.
Need to have more
no.
time?
No. There is not. It's a budget resolution that is approved at a regular business meeting.
I hope this isn't a stupid question, but you have supplemental number one and supplemental number two.
Correct. This is supplemental number two.
Great, because there's some of those, even for number one, there was no change in the first column, so I'm just looking at...
Correct. Yeah, the number one...
Cumulative?
Right. That's what if you look at the columns, we're just showing the new total for each fund, the new total for each fund, and then we have the change column that shows the what the change was. The first supplemental was the public safety, so that was the formal supplemental change that required advertising and publication in the newspaper.
I was going to say, because it's supplemental number one, even under public safety fund, that's a $2 million adjustment.
Right.
We did publish that one, and was that through the other process of approving. So
correct, yes.
Second.
This is the second
it's
one that...
like adjusting rounding. I
mean, internal...
really big adjustments for all.
Right. These are mostly internal changes. I mean, they're grants that came in, like public health, it's a HCSO grant, which you folks, you know, reviewed back at the beginning of the year. Their contract changes that have been made through the year. Public works, that they, instead of hiring their road worker ones, they, as employees, they got them from the temporary service agency. So we moved money from payroll into services to cover those costs. So that's kind of it's more or less the changes that are made throughout the year. They're all well below the threshold, and it's just the formality of putting them into the budget to have a final budget. But like I said, I can briefly go over those changes now. I can go over them on the weekly business session. It's
pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty small.
And what I will do is, for the weekly, I have the individual funds with an explanation down at the bottom that explains each of these numbers.
That will
be part of the packet.
Important to publish, because if you just publish that without people, you know, having the knowledge of
right, well, they don't
programs.
Have, yeah.
Right.
So this would, you know, it's like the planning in the general fund. It's the changes in the planning department that the board approved back at the beginning of this year, with the new community development director adding another planner to the staff. So those kinds of things, they're all explained here on the individual sheets for each individual program.
Great.
So that'll be part of the packet that we'll make available.
Okay.
And that was the main big thing. I've got to get back, you know, to work on those policies. So I don't want to spend too much time.
July 1, at least for that travel, and I really don't know what you're doing on anything else.
There are several that need it, but I'll focus in on the travel and take care of that sooner than later.
Comes steps.
That's right. Little bites, little steps.
Yeah,
that's,
and, I mean, just that one. We're not having people causing extra work. Just pick one. It's very simple.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah.
You can work with JJ. He's a smart kid.
Okay, we'll move forward.
Anything else?
See on the admin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Aren't going to attend?
Yes. Yeah. Or whatever.
I need to be there.
Okay.
I would think.
Yeah. We'll be here.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
No, I'm not going to do it either.
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, board business. Resolution number 2016-043 in the appointment of a Josephine County Mining Advisory Board. That is?
Michelle Binker.
Michelle.
Went through. It's appropriate. I think a lot of sense. She attended yesterday's mining advisory meeting and has a great connection with the state legislature. She's chief of staff for Carl Wilson. Very interested in that
okay.
Committee.
Okay, move that one forward. Building safety director position.
Good morning, Commissioners. So we've had a chance to kind of look at the different options for building safety. Currently is a separate division. With Robert Rice leaving, now it's time to look at whether that's what you would like to continue or whether you'd like to move it under community development. I have done some research, and I've spoken with Julie as well. She's done some research as well. And it's kind of the standard issue across the state to have building safety as part of community development or planning as a separate division within that department.
Did you see the summary that JJ had a summary, and then I had a summary from Julie as well on your desk there on that analysis?
Oh, right here. I haven't had a chance to review those, I think.
Yeah. So,
I have to do it pretty quickly.
The decision needs to be made as to whether we want to.
Yeah.
Hire an inspector, move the department under planning, and then the new inspector could be the buildings official, but the administrative duties, which is pretty much budgeting and personnel, would then be moved to the director.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't really see any downside to it, and I think it goes with consolidating these offices into one-stop shop eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm warming up to the idea, Arthur's idea, of consolidating some of those offices to the library, maybe moving the library to the Dimmock campus as part of that senior transitional housing as being, you know, one of those integrations with the community. You'd have that meeting center there. And we have this back as our administrative offices for public works. All of those things could kind of be housed in one area. We're not accomplishing that by doing this, but we're moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Where, one of my concerns was is that for me, and I think the board, is that when we wanted community and economic development, that's a new program. Julie's starting from scratch. She's developing it. For me, that's her number one focus. I don't want anything to detract from that.
Oh, she's working hard on that.
She is. This
which is great.
This isn't a problem child as far as building and safety. It's fiscally sound. It's been managed well. It's not broken. We're not trying to fix something here. We're just trying to make it better. So I told her, I said, if you give this a shot, and for whatever reason, personnel stuff happens or whatever, I state statute would probably prohibit us from taking those resources. You know, you can't supplement the planning department by building and safety's revenue and only in the administrative element. So we're going to have to keep those budgets separate. Those fee collections are statutory.
Right.
We don't even set those fees. Those
right.
fees are set by the state when we kind of inherit those. So it's really important that there is kind of a separation of divisions and so two different programs. But I said, you know, if this doesn't work, she was receptive to it, which was great. I don't think I'd encourage this if she wasn't. But if it didn't work in a couple of months, I'm just overwhelmed. There's too many questions or stuff. We go back to the way it was, and it wasn't broken. But giving it a shot, this is the opportunity to do it when we have a manager. We don't have to let anybody go. We just kind of, we hire the right person to replace Mr. Rice.
So shall we tell JG, our personnel expert here, to go in and the building inspector as the building official and move the department under planning, right?
Yeah.
Planning.
So what I've
go through those.
What I've posted for, and I've talked to Mr. Rice and about where things are being posted, is we've actually posted two positions, and we've posted for a building inspector with commercial experience, and we've also posted for a building official. We didn't post it as part of community development because that decision had been made, but that's who it reports to and whatever doesn't need to be in the posting. And the rationale for posting both of them is Mr. Rice believes that his current inspector may apply to be the building official. He has residential inspection experience as his expertise. We still need a commercial person. So if it goes under community development, then she would hire that person. So if she hires the internal person as the building official, we'll still need another inspector that has commercial experience.
Okay.
So yeah, depending upon who we select and who applies, would depend on which position you would actually fill.
In the meantime, I think it would be really advantageous because Robert has that commercial and it's in that portfolio. We already have the contract with them, but just to convey the expectation that we're going to rely on you until we fill that commercial void to do those inspections. Or we also have an IGA with the city to pick up some of those things. So between those two, that's how we're going to accomplish it in the meantime.
Yeah, if it's not filled by the time he leaves, and it probably won't be, I would actually recommend to Julie that she contract with that company for a building official. I mean, there are other counties that they don't even have an internal staff that's completely outsourced.
Right.
So we have them do the commercial inspections and serve as the serving as the building official. Until we have that person hired and appointed.
Okay.
We'll also need to have the board, we'll have to make an order as part of our scope of the building official is some documentation where we designated the Robert's position. That would have to be changed a little.
Would you work with legal to get the right language on that for that order?
Sure. It's pretty easy, nominal change. We agree. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Then we'll just watch for that order to come in.
Okay.
And proceed.
We'll make it happen. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, just real quick.
Sure.
Julie, I talked to her, but I haven't been able to circle back with Robert in talking about that. And I know he's leaving, but there's a lot of ownership over this program, and it feels somewhat unilateral to not necessarily have that kind of an
Well, he's been in twice, and we've talked to him about the options, and so he knows we may do that.
Okay.
I'll
follow up.
You weren't here the other day when he came in the second time.
Yeah.
You were here the first time,
right,
but not the second time. And so we had him come back in, and we asked him some more questions, and he explained some of the things that the positions do.
Yeah.
And that's when I clarified with him the company that he is going to. They actually contract to do the building official for many of the cities in Jackson County and for smaller cities in Jackson County. And then, and of course, they have the commercial experience. So they have that whole broad range of experience over there that he is going to. So he knows, other counties do it differently. We talked about that. So
in my conversations with some of the other counties who do it that way, something else that came up. I said, well, what other services do you contract out for? What was really interesting is people referenced district attorney services. I think that's something that needs to be on the conversation. You're the liaison to the DA, right? I'd like that explored from a standpoint that we don't have everything in-house. I know we already don't have everything in-house. When I went to the dog hearing, the animal hoarding hearing, they brought in a prosecutor from Lane County to do that prosecution. The DA did. He didn't do it in-house. So we already do some of that, but I think that maybe was more... It's less as part of the portfolio. I think it's an anomaly rather than a reoccurring thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of these shoplifting cases or homicides, whatever, those portfolios are going to go here, and we are going to do these. So that when we have the ebb and flow, if we have that, you know, we're experiencing potentially a pretty significant reduction, that it isn't staff necessarily that we're, that the person is just, we're not using you as much as we used to.
You also, when you're talking about prosecuting cases, just like when you're defending cases, people are specialists in certain areas. And if they're, I mean, if they're working on burglaries and homicides, and that, I mean, that's pretty common to them. But you get an animal case,
right,
you know, they haven't worked on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you get some other kind of, heaven forbid, we had some other kind of, you know, yeah, threat type of thing, and they had to prosecute. They would have had no experience in that.
There's cybercrime, and there's other things that are kind of specialty.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if maybe you three and the, you two and the DA could talk to about that as an option, and then you bring something that says, we can do it for these three things, but we're going to do these things in-house or something like that. That's what I'm envisioning, and that's what other counties have told me, that that's what they do. They don't have everything in-house. They don't have a comprehensive DA office that handles just everything. So it might make us more dynamic. And I think it leads into that. If there's a yellow book, I'm a yellow book conservative. If there's somebody out there with their shingle in the private sector doing this, well, government maybe not is the best place to handle that. And I think, you know, going to this third-party contracted service for building inspection, state code, you know, adopted by the International Code Council, we really don't have, there isn't local ordinance over building code, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So why aren't we, that would be moving, shifting, so we're more dynamic. We ebb and flow. They handle that capacity. We're not hiring and laying people off.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense to me, where it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Ms. Rice has done a good job on. We have enough steady work with the two types of inspection we do, but so we contract plumbing inspection, electrical inspection, and so those are...
He's been really good at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other matters from commissioners?
I am the liaison to the Solid Waste Agency, but there isn't any, and maybe this is a shortcoming on my part, but I'd like board direction that we get a quarterly report on the Solid Waste Agency or twice a year report, rather than me asking for it. I feel as though there's things that happen that I'm not aware of, and we are like a charter agency of the Solid Waste Agency with the city. I would imagine we are the most charter agency because we permit the solid waste companies to operate, collect those fees, we set those rates, and we have no oversight.
Is Rob Randis our solid waste
one of them? Connie Roach is the other. I know that Brad Carlson attends, but I don't think he's formally a representative of the county. This would go a long way to help me coordinate with them and say, I just heard that there are agencies that apply for solid waste funds to remediate asbestos in buildings. That sounds good, but I'm not so sure that's exactly where what the agency's charter says those tip fees should be used for. And I see stuff that I think it should be used for. I know that's the intent of what those, and that's not necessarily being done. So sure, if you have extra money and you can do it, that's great. We're not applying for those asbestos remediation funds, and we have a tremendous amount of liability. One of the things that I was thinking about, and I'm not 100% sure on this, so don't quote me, but they could be applying asbestos abatement in buildings that are at the end of their useful life. There is an expectation that if it was at a school, a middle school, for instance, why are we doing asbestos abatement at these $7,000, $10,000, $20,000 increments when we should apply for a state grant, like the way we did with the Dimmitt campus tower, to get the whole building remediated so that the cost of decommissioning and deconstruction is less. In a building, you're not going to be in it 5 years because you're going to float a bond and build a brand new middle school. It's like, why are you nickeling and diming Solid Waste Agency for something, in my opinion, that may be outside of prison? Not 100% up to speed on that. When I heard that, I was like, that doesn't seem like it's focused on the charter.
Why don't we contact Connie and have her...
Her and Rob,
and have them get the agency in here to give us a report.
I think that would be
Yeah, and they can do it, you know, on one of our general.
I think we'll need more time than an hour.
Yeah, we do. We need more time than this. So general.
When is the full board?
General discussion, full board.
And then Wally.
We'd like to have a report on their purpose and how they make decisions on how the money is expended and
where the money is going. And yeah, Wally provided me, and I can get it to the board, a copy of how their rules and their charter and all that stuff. But it's just one of those things that we're, I don't even want to use the word tangentially supposed to be connected to, and I don't feel like I'm connected very much at all.
Okay. We'll get that done. Any liaison updates?
The ONC issue is progressing. I think where we're at right now is we filed a letter of intent or objections on the record of decision, the final EIS. Final record of decision has not been issued yet, but once that is, we'll file our intent to sue.
Okay.
That's coming up. So sometime this summer. Forestry's going well. Parks is, I don't know. No, there's really nothing. I think everything's progressing quite well. We did talk about building safety today. I did see a copy of a request for Soul Ready Goose. I guess Colleen Padilla is the new executive director. Did we send a thank you note to Ron Fox for his years of service or something to that effect? And that might
I don't think we have from the board. I personally told him, but
yeah, and I have too. Mm-hmm. But it might be kind of a nice of recognition of his years of service.
Thank you note to Ron Fox.
But it would be really great to sit down with Colleen as a board and say, well, what is your vision? Where are you taking? Because the note.
She has an appointment to come see
she
it.
She has a general discussion.
She's already scheduled. And the dues are for this coming year, which were approved in our budget,
right.
So that'll be paid out.
Yeah, I just didn't want that letter to be our only point of contact.
No. She has made an appointment to be here to talk to us.
Fantastic.
And I don't remember when that is, but I remember seeing it.
So next week. Might be on vacation.
Well, she might need to reschedule.
I think it's next week.
You want it scheduled with it is next Tuesday.
I would like to be here for that, and I hate for her to have to do a repetitive or take me to lunch.
See if she could reschedule for when he's back. Now I'm gone. You have the dates when I'm gone. So I think, you know, when I was at the meeting the other day, some of the things that she, and Ron was at the meeting too,
yeah.
You know, the transition,
yeah.
But she made some comments in regards to how she's going to go forward, and I think she will be making some
that would be great.
Some changes, and she's been kind of the driving force there for the last year.
Yeah.
I think Ron has kind of been deferring more and more to her. And
she's really energetic,
mm-hmm.
very.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say aggressive, but she's not shy about wanting
no.
to do this. So
no.
I'm actually really encouraged by the new leadership. She's got a lot of potential, and
one of the things she talked about was putting together a working inventory of the industrial and commercial industrial property. She said specifically, and I think she means some of the commercial as well, but specifically she said the industrial properties in the counties so that they actually have an inventory of their status, what's being done, how big they are.
About this for
yeah, and that's
years.
Something I know I've talked to her about it, and I've provided her information on stuff that we have, but she mentioned it the other day about actually putting together a database.
Yeah.
So I know she's going to be doing more of that kind of thing so that they can quick reference rather than calling me every time and saying, do you have such and such, or we have this client, do you know of anybody there that has something for sale that might work? Because she does that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she actually wants a database, and so I think she's going to be doing that. So I know
somehow
she...
we need to coordinate that. I think that's a great thing, but it isn't static. It changes over time.
Oh, yeah, it does.
To maintain the realtors would seem like a very logical... You know,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be constantly in the know on,
right.
Well, this just came up. Or
right, and I took Julie to the meeting the other day, and because she's our community development director, I asked Colleen to check into the Soul Ready charter and our any agreements that they have as to whether it has to be a commissioner that has to attend those meetings and be on the board, or if we can delegate that to her,
mm-hmm.
because she would be the person on the front line.
Sure.
And she says, I'll check into it. So we're working on that one. That way we can delegate it to her.
Well, I think maybe a commissioner and her should go as often as possible.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying they shouldn't go, but if you can only have one voting member, does it require that voting member to be a commissioner, or can we delegate that voting member to the community development director?
Okay,
anything else? Any miscellaneous?
No.
Okay. It is 10:19, and we are adjourned.